Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Kufav, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. In the previous shiur, we had learned the opinion of Rav Sheshes. The Rav Sheshes says, as soon as a shomer denies having an item, he's considered a gazlan. As soon as he denies having the item that was left by him to watch, he becomes a gazlan, and he's chayiv for everything, even for einsim. Ask the Gemara, Mas Ravin Bachama. The Mishnah says in Masechta Shavuos that there are times the Torah obligates one to make a shua, as we will be learning in the coming shiurim, in the situation of Moedah B'Mikses and other such situations, Eid Echad. And the Mishnah teaches us that who makes the shua? In other words, there are two litigants, a Toveya and a Nitva. Somebody demanding that, somebody saying that you owe me money, and the other person denying that he owes money. So who's the one that makes the shua? So the Mishnah teaches us that the halacha is always the one who's being claimed against. The Nitva makes the shua, he makes the shua, and then he becomes absolved from making any payment. However, the Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos identifies certain individuals who cannot make a shvua. We don't believe them when they make a shvua, says the Mishnah. And there, the halacha reverses itself. And there, the halacha is that the person who's making the claim makes the shvua, and the other individual will have to pay. Who are such individuals? Shekenegdei choshen al shvua. If the person, the nitva, is not to be believed when he makes a shvua, so then the Toveya makes the Shua. Ketzad, what is such an example? Echad Shua Sa'edis. If the Nitva is such an individual who had made a Shua, he was asked to say Edis, and he swore falsely that he didn't know Edis, and it turns out to be a false Shua. And as the Rishonim explain, how do we know that was a false Shua? Either because there are Edim that can say that you can't claim that you didn't know Edis, we know for a fact you do know Edis, or he himself admitted that he knew Edis. Echad Shua Sebekodin, he made a Shua falsely that he was holding something, that he wasn't holding something when he actually was. But Fila Shua Shav, even in a case where the individual is a person that makes Shuas in vain, all of these individuals cannot make a Shua, and therefore even though they're the Nitva, the Toveya makes the Shvua and they pay. And as the Rishonim, the Shittim and Kubetzes explains, even though the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that when is someone disqualified from being a kosher aid, when is somebody disqualified from being able to make a Shvua? Only if he's Ra Labrius, he doesn't act properly Ben Odom L'Chaveroi. But if he's Ra Ben Odom L'Makom, then he's not automatically disqualified from being an aid. So ask the Rishonim, this individual who made a Shvua Shav is an individual who's Ra'al L'Shamayim, Ben Adam L'Makayim, but it has nothing to do with Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. So why is he disqualified from making a Shvua? Explain the Rishonim. Even though the Avera of Shvua Shav is an Avera of Ben Adam L'Makayim, not an Avera of an Adam L'Chaveroi, still, once a person makes a Shvua Shav, he shows a disregard for the severity of making Shvuas. An individual who shows disregard for the seriousness of making Shvuas cannot be believed. Ask the Gemara, Vim Isa, if Rav Sheshes is correct, that as soon as a Shomer denies having the item, he automatically becomes a gazlan, so why do we have to wait until he makes a shvua? B'kfira hu difsalei, as soon as he denies it, he becomes pasul. Answers the Gemara, Amri, hachem ma'iskinen, that Mishnah is referring to a situation, the koi bagam, where the item that he was watching is not in his possession, it's standing in a swamp. That's why the lav kfiruhu. It's not considered a situation of a real kfira. The sover ashtemitnle ad the ozel masinale. It's referring to a situation where the shomer doesn't have immediate access to the item that he's watching, and therefore, instead of admitting what's going on, he denies it. And as the Rishonim explained, just as a delaying tactic when he will be able to retrieve and return the item. And that's why, just because he denies it, he's not automatically considered a gazlan. From here, says the Ramban, we see that any type of denial, Rav Sheshis will consider a denial that makes him to a gazlan. Because if the only denial there would be a denial, according to Rav Sheshis, is where he says that he never received the item to watch. But if he said that it was nenes, and that it really wasn't, he wouldn't become a gazlan. The Gemara could have given a simple teretz. The Gemara could have said that the difference is whether what claim he made. The fact that the Gemara doesn't distinguish between the claims, the kfira, the denial that he makes, it's right that any type of denial, according to Rav Sheshis, makes him to a gazlan. The Rishonim also ask that if it's referring to a situation where the shomer, as the Gemara is now establishing, that the shomer is actually holding the item and he denies it, that he has it, and that's why Rav Sheshis says that he's a gazlan, of course he's a gazlan. He's holding somebody else's item and denying it. What's the chiddush of Rav Sheshis? So some Rishonim, the Rosh, explained that we would say that perhaps somebody's only considered a gazlan where the actual act of taking the item was done b'gzela. However, here the Shomer, when he received the item, he received it beheter, and therefore it should not be considered an act of gzela. That's the chiddush, that is considered a gazlan even though he received the item behetum. Another answer that the Rishonim suggest is that the chiddush is that only a shvua, that the only type of that the chiddush is that you don't have to have a full-fledged shvua to be considered a gazlan. Even a regular kfira will make the person into a gazlan. Teda. So now the Gemara brings a proof that we make a distinction when something is accessible versus when something is not accessible. Don Rav Ida Bar Ovid. Hakoifer b'milva koshleidus. If somebody denies that he lent, that he received money, that he borrowed money, it's still koshleidus. Because we know that halacha is milva leitzor nitna. And therefore, the fact he doesn't have the money accessible to him, and therefore he's not considered a gazlan by denying it, because indeed it isn't in his possession. However, if he denies a pikadon, he denies having a pikadon, he's a posel edus. Why? Because pikadon is in his possession. So we see there's a difference between something that is in my possession versus something which is no longer in my possession. Ask the Gemara how on Rav Sheshis. How could Rav Sheshis say that just denial alone creates a situation that the Shomer becomes a gazlan? Vami Ilfa said shvua kaina. When the Shomer made a false shvua, that's when he becomes the gazlan. Shvua, so it seems, shvua he the kanya. It's only when he makes a full shvua does he become a gazlan. Al kfira, if he just denies that he owes the money, that he was a shomer, that in itself loy kanya will not make him a gazlan. Answers the Gemara hachinaymi the kaima bagam. And again, the way the Rishonim explain, if it's bagam, a mere denial will not make him into a gazlan. When will he be a gazlan? When it's bagam. If coupled with the denial, there is a shvua. However, in a situation where there is a, where it's bebesoi, wherein it's in his home still, there we don't need a shvua, a denial in its own will make him into a gazlan. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining what ilfa meant, my shvua kaina, it refers to a different din altogether. Dom Rav Huna Marav, it's referring to the din Rav Huna Marav taught us. Dom Rav Huna Marav. If I say to somebody, you owe me $100, and the other person says, I don't have anything of yours, for nishba, and then he swears to that effect, and then Edom come and say that it's not true, that he did have the money, potter. He's still potter from paying. A gevaldig chiddush. Once he made the shvua, he's absolved from paying, even if the malva could bring Eden that he owes the money. Shnemar v'lokach ba'olav v'lo yisholim. Kivin shekiblu abalim shvua. Once there was a shvua made, shuv emishama money, they can't be obligated to pay. And the Chazon Ish explains, why is that the din? It's a very difficult din to understand. Why, if the malva was able to bring Eden, why will his shvua be prevent, stop him from having to have to pay? So the Chazon Ish explains, because once a shvua is made, Beis Din no longer involves itself in this Din Torah. So if he made this shvua, then there's no longer, Beis Din is finished with this case, and even if Edom come, Beis Din no longer react to this Din Torah. Ramei is Simcha, Dar Sameach, also follows the same line of reasoning with a little different angle. He says that the malva uses up his power of tviya, his power to make a claim, once he makes the loiva swear. Once he makes the loiva swear, he loses all of his authorization here. And now the Gemara will spend quite a while trying to analyze Rav Huna Marav's din. Guf Amar Rav Huna Marav, Manali Biyotcha. If somebody says to somebody else, you owe me a mana, Vala Amar Ein Lecha Biyotcha Klum, and the other person says, it's not true, V'nishba, and he swears to that effect, or Ba Edom, and afterwards Edom come to say that he's not, that he was lying, Potter. Shnemar, V'lok Achbala V'lo Yishalim, Kim Shekibl Balim Shvua, once the Balim made a Shvua, once the loiva made a shvua, shuv emisham mammon, they have no longer an obligation to pay any money. Omer Rava, b'stava milsa the Rav, I could understand what Rav said b'milva. Why? Since the original money no longer exists, as we've been explaining, money given to borrowed is given to be spent. So the pasuk says, "V'lokach balav." Once he makes the shvu, lo yishalim. Av b'kodin, when somebody is a shomer, if he falsely swears, that doesn't change the reality of reshusa the marikoi, that this item still belongs to its owner, and therefore the halach ought to be that even if he swears, if edim come, he should have to pay. However, comments Rava, v'lokim, I can make a shvua that I'm a rav. I feel b'kodin. The Rav said it's done not only by a milva, but even by b'kodin. And the best proof for it is because the pasuk the Rav uses as a source for his psak, the ki ksiv kro, b'kodin ksiv, it's in the subject of b'kodin, not in the subject of milva. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Nachman v'kamal ha-shmatza. Rav Nachman was sinning and saying over this halach of Rav. So Rachman Yumini asked from the following Mishnah. It says in a Mishnah, if somebody says to a Shoy Mechinim, Heichem Pegduni, where is the Bikodin I left with you? Amalei Ovid, and responds that it was lost. Mashbiachani, I make you swear to that effect. Vama Amen, and as we learned, by saying Amen, it's as if the person made a full-fledged Shvua. And then Edom come and say that he actually did eat it up himself. The halach is that he consumed it himself, that he was lying. The halach is Mishal Masakarin. if he admits on his own, Misham Karam Chaimish Vashem, as we have been learning, if a Shomer swears falsely, denying that he was a Shomer, and then afterwards he admits to his lie, he has to pay Karam Chaimish Vashem. So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is from the Reisha. The Reisha clearly says that even though the Shomer swore falsely, if Edom come and say that he's lying, he will have to pay the Karam. Clearly contradicting what Rav said. Taisa says that the question is not even only from the Reisha, but the question is even from the Sefer. Because at this point of the Gemara, according to Taisa's, the Gemara is learning that Rav holds that even if he swears falsely, and afterwards he admits that he swears falsely, he will not have to pay Karen V'chaim Mishva Asher. And therefore, even the Sefer is a question on Rav. The only question that remains, if that, according to Taisus, is Rav's opinion at this point of the Gemara, we have been learning a din that if a Shomer swears falsely and then admits, confesses, he's chayiv kerem v'chayim shvashom, it's a pasuk in the Torah of his svada, so what will Rav do with that pasuk? So the Rishonim explain, the Rav will say that the time which Yechayiv Kerem Chaimish V'Asham is in a case when he didn't make a Shvua in Bezdin. As we're going to learn in a moment, the Gemara makes such a nafgamina between where he made the Shvua. But in a case where he made the Shvua in Bezdin, Rav will hold, there is no din of Kerem Chaimish V'Asham at this point of the Gemara, according to Tosfos's understanding of the Gemara. So the question from this Mishnah is, it clearly indicates, let's learn like Rashi learns in the Reisha, that if he swore falsely and then afterwards Edom come, he still has to pay the Karen. Rav says that if he swore falsely, he doesn't have to pay even if Edom come to contradict what he said. Amalei Rav Nachman, responds Rav Nachman, Hachem Ma'iskinen Kegoyin the Nishbel Chutz LeBezdin. Since he made a shvua chutz lebezdin, therefore that shvua is not considered a valid shvua. Amalei asked, so he asked Rav Nachman, let's continue learning that Mishnah. Heichem bekduni, if somebody says to Shai Mechinam, where is my pekadon? Amalei nignav, and he says it was stolen. Meshbiach ani, I make you swear to that effect. V'amri amen, and the Shomer Chinam makes such a shvua. V'amidim edim asher shaganvoy, and then the edim say that he was a ganav. The loch is mishalem tishlumi kefil. He has to pay kefil. As any case where somebody says that we've learned, some if a Shomer Chinam is a toyin tanis ganav, and then he turns out to be a lawyer, he has to pay kefil. Hoydem atzmai, if he admitted by himself. So as we just explained, Misham Kerem Chaimish V'Asham. Ask the Gemara, V'Yisal Kedat Techutz L'Bazdin, if we're going to say that it's referring to a situation of outside of Bezdin, Mika Kefil, is there ever a Chiv to pay Kefil if the Shvua wasn't imposed by Bezdin? Kefil could only be assessed by Bezdin. Amalei, so he answered, R'chonin L'Shnuilach, I could have theoretically answered that the Reish is referring to a situation where the Shvua took place Chutz LeBezdin, and therefore it's not considered a valid Shvua, and therefore if Edom come, he'll be chayiv to pay the Karen. And the Sefer is referring to a situation where the Shvua was made in Bezdin. That would be a difficult answer to defend, that the same Mishnah, the Reish is talking about a Shvua outside of Bezdin, and the Sefer is a Shvua in Bezdin. Rather, therefore, I'm going to answer. Both cases of the Mishnah refer to a shvua made in Bezdin. However, v'loy kasha. Kam b'kofetz, in the Reish, it's referring to a situation where the court did not impose the shvua. Kam b'shloy kofetz, the Seif is talking about where the Bezdin imposed the shvua. And a shvua that wasn't imposed by Bezdin, even though it was made in Bezdin, is not considered the full-fledged shvua that Rav tells us he will be potter even if Edom come. Actually, the Chazon Ish asks, why can the Gemara made a nafkamina between if he made a shvua with the Kitas Chayfetz holding a Sefer Torah, that's when it's considered a full-fledged shvua, versus when he didn't hold the Sefer Torah, it wasn't the Kitas Chayfetz, Now that's not considered a full-fledged shvur. Answers the Chazon Ish. Midoraisa, there is no requirement to have Nikitas Chayfetz. The entire din of Nikitas Chayfetz is only midrabbanim. And therefore, the Gemara cannot make that distinction, because midoraisa shvur imposed by Bezdin in Bezdin is a full-fledged shvur. Amalei Rabbi Bechamel Rav Nachman, Michti. The Rav Loi Sfirloch, I don't understand, asked Rav Nachman to Rav Nachman. You halachically don't agree with Rav. So Meshkuni Nafshecha, the Rav Loi Lameli, why are you going so much out of your way to try to explain Rav's opinion? Amalei, Lefurush the Rav, what I want to try to accomplish is explain the Rav Hochim Taras Loi Masnisen, to explain how Rav would explain the Mishnah. And as the Mefarshim explained, from here we see the Derech of the Amoraim, that even in situations that they didn't agree with someone else, they still tried to explain their opponent's opinion. Ask the Gemara, how could anyone disagree with Rav? For Rav Krokama, didn't Rav quote a pasuk v'lokach bala v'lo yishalim that says that once the Shomer makes a shvur, even if Edom come to contradict him, they won't be believed? Answers the Gemara Amri, the pasuk is, according to those that argue with Rav, is coming to teach a different din. Kro l'chol nishban shmetaro nishban v'la mishalim v'dasa. That pasuk is coming to teach us the din that we began to share with, that whenever the Torah imposes a shvur, what the Torah means to say is that the nitva should swear and be absolved from making any payment. V'lokach ba'ala v'la yishalim. Mish olav l'shalim, the person, the nitva, who would have to pay, who nishba swears and becomes absolved from paying. That's what everybody else will use this pasuk for. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, so from where will Rav know this din, that who is the one that has to make the shvur, the nitva, not the taveya, if Rav is using this pasuk for another limud? Says the Pnei Yeshua, Rav doesn't need a pasuk to teach us that din. Rav says we learn that din from a svara, and the svara is basically a svara of amotzi mechaveroi olav haraya. Because when a person denies owing any money, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, he's typically believed. It's the other individual who's making a claim that we have to be concerned is telling the truth. It's also interesting to point out that the Bnei Yisoschar says, if that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, that the nitva is the one that has to make the shvur, so why doesn't the Torah say it in a more explicit way? Why does the Torah say it this way, which is somewhat unclear, as we see it's a machlokes exactly what it means? Says the Bnei Yisoschar, because the Torah is teaching us that even though halachically the Toveya can require that the Nitva make a Shvur, it's still something improper. It's improper to cause someone to make a Shvur, because by causing somebody to make a Shvur, he may chas v'shalom be lying, and the repercussions of his lie are obviously very serious if he swears falsely. So even the Toveya who caused him to swear is not that innocent. So now Rav Hamnuna asks a question of Rav. It says in a Mishnah, if he made him swear five times, whether the shvur took place in front of Bezdin, and whether it took place not in front of Bezdin, the kafalov, and then the defendant denies that he owes him anything, the loch is chayv kolach tzvachas. He has to pay the keren v'choymish on every shvur. V'amar Shimon, why does he have to pay keren v'choymish for every shvur? Hoyel yachalach salahidus. Since he could admit every time that he lied, and for every shvur that he admits, he'll have to pay a separate keren v'chaimish. Says the Gemara, for hacha Kofetz Lemotzes Amrit. We can't say that the Shvuah that's being referred to here is a situation that he made the Shvuah on his own. Because the Mishnah uses the words Hishbi Alav Ktani, that he was told to make a Shvuah. Furthermore, Chutz LeBezdin LeMotzes Amrit, we can't say that this Shvuah is taking place outside of Bezdin, because the Mishnah says Befnei Bezdin Ktani. So you see that even in a case where the Shvuah took place in Bezdin, there's Alocha that he keeps, that he's still Chayiv. Answered the Gemara, Hu Maisav Lava, Hu Mefarek La. He asked the question, he answered it. Let's start with Ktani. We have to divide the Mishnah. Hishbi Alav is referring to a case where it's Chutz LeBezdin, or if he made the Shvuah in Bezdin, it was Kafatz. So neither is a situation of a full-fledged Shvuah, because as we've been explaining, what is considered a full-fledged Shvuah? Only a Shvuah that takes place in Bezdin, imposed by Bezdin, and this isn't such a situation. Masav Rava, so Rava asks a different question. Balabayis Shaton Tanis Ganab Bekodon, if a Balabayis, if a Shemichinam claims that what he was holding was stolen, v'nishba, and he swore for Hoida, and then he admits that he was lying, or by Edim, and Edim came, that he was lying. So the halacha is like this. Im actually by Edim Hoida, if he made that admission prior to Edim coming, Misham, Karen, V'chaim, Mishvashem, it has the din that we've been learning, that if a Shomer swears falsely, and then admits to his lie, he pays Karen V'chaimish V'ashem. So ask the Achrayim, we learned earlier in our Masechta, a sugya, a Maida B'Knas, V'achach Ba'edim. Is that considered Maida B'Knas or not? Shouldn't this be clearly an indication that Maida B'Knas, V'achach Ba'edim, is considered Maida B'Knas? And that's why he's Chayiv the Chaimish, and not the Kefil. So I saw two Turutzim. Dar Sameach says that this is not considered, that since he has to pay the Chaimish, and we're going to learn this concept later in the Perek, since he has to pay the Chaimish subsumes the Kefil, and therefore it's not like he's being absolved from the Kefil, and we have no Raya to the Halacha of Moedah B'Knas V'achach Ba'edim. The Chazanish answers that this is not a regular case. Since this is a situation of Toyin Tanis Ganef, it's not that he's a real Ganef, he's only Toyin Tanis Ganef, that's not considered a regular situation of Moedah B'Knas, and we can't bring a Raya to the Halacha of Moedah B'Knas or Ba'edim. V'misha Ba'edim Hoida, but if he only admitted after the Edim came, the Halacha is M'sham Tashlum Kefa V'ashim. Now, again, asks Rava, V'acha Chut L'Bezdim V'Kofetz L'Matzis Amrit. Again, we can't say that this Brisa is referring to a situation where the Shvuah took place outside of Bezdin, or was Shvuah that he made on his own. Because again, the Brisa says that he's Chayiv Kefil. Kefil Kani. There's Chayiv Kefil, and as we learned, you could only be Chayiv Kefil if you make a Shvuah in Bezdin, imposed by Bezdin. And yet it says that if Edom come after such a Shvuah is made, he'll be Chayiv. What will Rav do with this Brisa? Therefore, Rava comes and completely redefines what Rav said. And therefore, Elamar Rava, Kol Haida, in a situation where he falsely swore, denying that he has the item, and then he admits, Loishno Tan Tanis Ovid, it makes no difference what his false shvuah was, that it was lost, Veloishno Tan Tanis Ganev, or he says that it was stolen, Loishno Rav. That isn't what Rav was referring to. Says Rav, as we've been learning, Kaksivis Fadah, the Torah clearly teaches us a parasha that if somebody swears falsely, if a Shomer swears falsely, and then confesses to his guilt, that he's Chayiv Karen Chaimish V'Hashem. The boy Shlomo Karen V'Chaimish. Tar Tanis Ganef, similarly, if he claimed falsely that it was stolen, and then by Edom come to prove that he was lying, Nami Loyama Rav, there too Rav will agree, that he'll have to pay Kefil. Ki Kama Rav, where was Rav saying his special din, that he's potter from paying if he swore falsely in one specific situation. Kigoyin shetan tanis avad v'nishba, that he swore falsely that it was lost, and then afterwards, loy haida, he didn't admit to his lie, or by Adam, and Adam come to say that he was lying, then Rav says once he swore, he will not have to pay. Asks the Ravid, how can we say that that's the case that the Pasuk is referring to? The Pasuk is referring to a Shomer, that Pasuk is talking about a Shomer Socher, and a Shomer Socher is Chayiv for Aveda. So why by his claiming Aveda will he be exempt? Answers the Ravid that the situation that the Pasuk, the Gemara is referring to is that he claims that he was never appointed a Shomer in the situation, and therefore that he claims that he was only a Shomer Chinam, and he was parted from Aveda, and then even if Adam come and he swears to that effect, there even if Adam come afterwards, he's going to remain potter according to Rav. Ozel Rav Gamda v'amal l'shmaya to Kameda Rav Ashi. So Rav Gamda went and said over this to Rav Ashi, Amalei, and he said, how could Rav explain that that's what Rav meant? Hashto ma Rav Amnuna, Talmidei de Rav. Rav Amnuna was Rav's Talmud. V'yodei de Amar Rav, hoida. He knew that Rav says his din even in a situation that if he swore falsely and then imposed by Beis Din, and then he admits, he's not going to be chayiv. The proof is the kamais of hoida, because that was the Mishnah that Rav Amnuna asked his question from. For at Amrit, how could you argue with Rav Amnuna and say hoida loy amar Rav, that that's not what Rav was talking about? Amalei Rav Achasabal Rav Ashi. You misunderstood what Rav Hamnuna meant to ask. It wasn't that Rav Hamnuna meant to ask that Rav doesn't agree to the case of Hoida. The point that he was making was a different point altogether. If we will suggest that Nishba, if he swears falsely, ki os Adam, and afterwards Adam come and say that he was lying, the halacha will be that he's chayiv, then we could understand then we could understand that when he made five false shvuas and he admitted to each one that he, and then he confessed that there were five false shvuas, that we will have that I'll have to pay karen v'chaymish for every false shvua. Hoyle, because we can understand what the Mishnah says, Hoyl v'yoch lach salahidus. Because since this is money, this is what Rishonim explained to Gemara, that could have been extracted from him through witnesses, therefore, even if it wasn't extracted by witnesses, he confessed, he'll be chayif. But says the Gemara, what Rav Hamnuna was asking, Eliki Amrit ki osa Adam Potter. If you're going to say that even if Adam come, he will be Potter, so Rav Hamnuna's question was, Mi komidi deal osa sadi masadi be Potter. That if the Shomer swore falsely, and Adam came and said that he was lying, he would still be Potter. Vanan neku chayv kav neshvua harav yoch lachser. Lahidus has to mean lahidi, which means as follows: how can we treat his own confession more stringently than Adam? And if Rav says that when Adam come, he's potter, certainly the halacha should be that when he confesses, he's potter. That was the basis of Rav Nuna's question on Rav, but not that Rav Nuna meant to say that Rav disagrees with the halacha that if he admits, he's chayiv karen v'chaymish. To that, Rav Hamnuna never argued, and therefore Rav's definition of Rav's position is not different necessarily than what Rav Hamnuna understood. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chibar Abin, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hatoin tanis kana bebegodim. If somebody claims that a begodim was stolen, and actually he stole it, the halach is mishalem tashlumi kefil. He has to pay kefil for tovach mochar, if he was a shara seh and he sold it or shechted it, the halacha of tashlumi abba v'chamisha kicks in. There's a machlokes rishonim. When does the halacha of abba v'chamisha kick in? The Rosh says that only he's only chayiv dalad v'hei after he was toyin tanis ganav. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says that he's chayiv dalad v'hei even before he said his tanis ganav. The Magen Mishnah explains that the position of the Rambam that even kefil he's not chayiv until after Toyin Tanis Ganav. Says the Gemara. And Rabbi Yochanan explains the basis for his position. He says, Hoyav Ganav Misham Tashlumi Kefil, just like every Ganav has to pay Tefil, Toyin Tanis Ganav Misham Tashlumi Kefil, Ma Ganav Shugan Misham Kefil, Tavach Mochar Misham Tashlumi Abov Chamisha, the loch is that a Ganav, the Tvicha Mechira, as we learned in Perek Meruba, pays Dal Vahei, after Toyin Tanis Ganav B'Kodim, Kushu Misham Tashlumi Kefil, similarly Toyin Tanis Ganav, just like he pays Kefil, Tavach Mochar Misham Tashlumi Abov Chamisha. Ask the Gemara, how can we compare a Toyin Tanis Ganav to a Ganav? A ganav has to pay kefil even if he didn't swear falsely. Toimer b'toyin tanis ganav, whereas a toyin tanis ganav, shem sham tashlumi kefil al b'shvua, that he only pays kefil if he swore falsely. Amri, so answers the Gemara, hakeshihu, this is a situation of a hekesh, v'meshivin al hakesha. And we can't ask questions even if it doesn't logically make sense. Ask the Gemara. Going back to Gemara that we learned on Daf Samach Gimel. Ha'nich l'mandam echad b'ganav v'chad b'toynis ganav, that they're two psukim that we discussed in Parashas Mishpatim. Kit nishal re'ayu kesav kelim lishmar v'gunim beis ish imyotzi ganav yishalm shnayim. So we have two psukim. So we learned on Daf Samach Gimel that one man dama said the chad beganav, that one pasuk is referring to a ganav, the chad beganav tanis ganav, and the other pasuk is talking about tanis ganav. Shaper, we can understand that the Torah is connecting these two dinim, and all the dinim that apply to a ganav, know what we're referring to in our shugya is the chiv of dal v'hei, will also apply to a toyin tanis ganav. El man d'omer, but according to the man d'omer they learned that both the pasuk of yimotzi haganav and also the pasuk v'mlo yimotzi are both tavai b'toyin tanis ganav, are referring to the situation of toyin tanis ganav. And we don't have a hekesh between ganav and toyin tanis ganav. So ask the Gemara Michael Meima, why are we connecting? How are we makish these two dinim? And says the Gemara, Amri ganav ha ganav. He learns it from the extra hay to teach us that the same din that applies to ganav, the din that a ganav has to pay dal v'hei, will also apply to a toyin tanis ganav. Ask the Gemara, Eser chiber abel Rabbi Yochanan. Heichen shayri. If somebody says to shay mechinim, "Where's my shor?" and he says nignav, and the shay mechinim says it was stolen, mashbiach anoy, and he tells him you have to swear to that effect. Vame amen. Vame edim edim oisay shachloi, and then the edim come and says that he ate it himself. Is that loch mesham tashlume kefil? He has to pay kefil. Ask the gemara. Vahocha the efshel kazayis possible ashchita. It's impossible to eat meat without having shechted it first. And yet we're learning, Viktani Mishalem Teshlumi Kefil, that he only pays Kefil, Teshlumi Kefil in Teshlumi Abov Chamishaloi. So isn't this a proof that a Toyin Tanis Ganav does not pay Dalad Vehei? Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, Kigan Sheachla Nevela. That he ate it as a Nevela, and since he ate it as a Nevela, there was no Shechita. When is there a Chiyah for Dal Vehei? When he ate when he did shchita. Here he didn't do any shchita. Ask the Gemara, v'lishnilei kegon shachla treifa. Why don't we explain that he, why do we have to say that he ate it as a nevela? Why don't we say that he ate it as a treifa? And the Mefarshim ask, and why is treifa better teretz than nevela? So the simple teretz is that treifa is not as serious as a nevela, as serious as an aveira, as nevela. So even though we're saying that the person did an aveira, wouldn't we want to minimize the aveira that he did? Another teretz is that if we would explain that it's a situation that he ate it as a treifa, it would be a proof that shechita she'ena ruya lo yishma shechita. And that's exactly what the Gemara answers. The Gemara did not want to explain that's referring to a situation that he ate as a treifa, because the Gemara wants to even follow the opinion of Rameya that holds shechita she'ena ruya shma shechita. So it would be considered a full-fledged shechita. And if you chayv dal v'hei for shechita, you would still be chayiv here. So that's why we had to explain it's referring to a nevela. Ask the Gemara, v'lishnin lei b'ben pekua. Why don't we explain that's referring to ben pekua? A ben pekua is a fetus that's found alive in its mother's stomach after it was slaughtered. That animal is not mechuyiv shechita. And explain the mefarshim. And the Gemara, it's going contra me, the Omer Ben Bekua Tan Shechita. That even a Ben Bekua requires Shechita, and you couldn't eat it without Shechita. And explain the Mefarshim, that even according to the Chamim, that say that a Ben Bekua requires Shechita, Midrabaran, because of Maris Ayin, say the Rishonim, that Shechita, Kveg actually says this, that Shechita would not be considered a Shechita that you should be Chayv Dal Vehei. Because only a shechita that's obligated midoraisa is considered a shechita. A shechita that's only because of maris ayin would not be considered a shechita. Says the Gemara, that teretz can't be given because a ben bekua requires shechita, and therefore that can't be the teretz. Ask the Gemara, why don't we give a different answer? V'lishnalei kigoyin sh'om bedin. Why don't we say it's referring to a situation where there was already a din Torah made, and the Bezdin told him, "Vamoit say tenloi, go pay him," and afterwards he shechs the animal. That the halacha is that he's not chayav dal v'hei, because as we learned the Gemara previously, Dama Rava say tenloi. If Bezdin said to the ganif, "Go pay him, go tavach hamachar," and afterwards he does tvicha mechira, potter, he will not be chayiv dal vehei. My tama, kiven the paskei lemelsa. Once Bezdin paskened with a sharpness, say tenloi, v'tavach remacher, afterwards he does tvicha mechira, he is considered a gazlin. And only a ganif, we learned, is chayiv tvicha mechira. Only a ganif pays dal vehei, not a gazlin. Now that he did this after Bezdin paskind, he's not chayiv dal v'hei, because a gazlin lemisham tashlumi abav v'chamisha. But if Bezdin only used the words chayiv atolitin loy, and afterwards v'tavach u'macher chayiv, then he will be chayiv dal v'hei. My tama, because the words chayiv litin loy are not as strong as say atolitin loy. And kol kamen d'loy p'sika le'melsa, as long as Bezdin wasn't strong in its p'sak, he's still a ganef, and he's chayiv dal v'hei. So as Tosfos explains, the Gemara prefers to give this teretz versus a teretz that has a Jew eating nevela. As we explained earlier in the Masechta, what's the difference between the wording of tsei tenloy versus chayiv atalit tenloy? So there's two pshatim that we quoted. One pshat is, it's just a question of how sure Bezdin is of its psak. If Bezdin said, say, that shows a clarity of psak, if Bezdin only used the words chayiv atalit tenloy and doesn't prove that they're so sure of their psak. Another explanation goes back to something that we just discussed the other day. We know that under certain circumstances, Bezdin cannot reverse its psak. But if Bezdin only used the words chayiv atalit tenloy, Bezdin can still reverse its psak. And since Bezdin could still reverse its psak, it's not considered that he is no longer a ganef. Amri asked the Gemara Ulutameich, according to you, Lishten Le B'Shutuf, Shetavach Shloim Das Chaveri, why don't we say that's referring to a situation where two Shoimrim were given an animal to watch, and one Shoimer shechted it without the permission of the other Shoimer? Where the halacha, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, is that you don't pay dal v'hei. Ella, why doesn't the Gemara give that teretz? Because chodem etreyu t'las anoket. The Gemara gave one of a number of answers, and therefore the Gemara could have given this answer, but the Gemara chose to give a different answer. I saw from the Sefer Kikoyin the Yoina, he points out, what is the Gemara's question of l'tameich? What do I mean, according to your reasoning? We don't have a question of a machloikis here. We're just looking for other answers. We're looking for an answer. So the word l'tameich is actually inappropriate here. Explains the Kikoyin the Yoina. What the Gemara meant to say is, that isn't this teretz that the Gemara gives, that we could have said the difference where he said, where the Bezin said, Setan loy, a chayv italit loy, a great teretz. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan didn't give that teretz seems to indicate that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that halacha. And that's what the Gemara means, lutameich. Answers the Gemara, it's not that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that halacha. Rather, what it means is that Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara could have given, the Gemara says, I could have given a number of terutzim, and Rabbi Yochanan chose this teretz, but there are a number of terutzim that will answer this question, and it doesn't prove that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of the distinction between seitein loy or chayiv atalitin loy.